we're going to do a special interview for a very special person.
Yay, high school. Meet Stephanie Collier, yay!
Who also does my stuff. And thank you for all you did for Wednesday. I heard you did a lot for Wednesday.
Oh yeah, in fact, let me start out singing your praises. I got up on Tuesday and I was like, oh, we're going to the fair tomorrow. And of course, for me, the fair is challenging. And year after year, I do confess that I think of ways that maybe the Lord doesn't really want me here. But this year it was like, Lord, I'm going to get ready and we're going to do this. You know,
yes.
Or in the shorts, and you gotta, you know, shave and all that. So I'm in the shower and I'm thinking, this verse came to me. It was one of the first verses my daddy ever taught me. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. We all know that one, right? But Philippians 4, 6 through 8 is, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking of this verse while I'm showering, and I think, Stephanie. It's suddenly Stephanie comes to my mind. That's sort of a weird sort of story that I'm sharing that I'm thinking about you in the shower. But I mean, we're just praying. Just for an answer as to which way to go, right? Don't we always, we're always supposed to be doing that. And I then just got ready, dressed, and thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm keeping this off because you're going to need it too. And I sat down and wrote an email. I said, Stephanie, here's the deal. I could sure use your help. Boy, if you would stand in for me, this would be awesome. Because by this time, I'm looking at the weather report, and it's going to be hot. And without going into too much detail, he just does a number on me. And there have been some really, really scary times that I have gone to the fair and was worried about getting home. But then you want the Lord made a way. But thank you so much, because this woman, without hesitation, just, what can I do? What do you want me to do? And it was just like, wow, this is really, really awesome. Because normally, somebody asks us to do something, we're always supposed to be willing and able, but maybe not always so much, right? So that when someone does that, it just blows you away, and I'm so thankful. So I got to sing your praises. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think that if Teresa were here, we have many pictures. Oh, Teresa had a really, really good time. So she was very much close by that. So, we're going to learn a little bit more about Stephanie.
Yay.
So, you were born and raised in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yes.
You're not alone. So, tell me about your family.
Well, my parents were here last weekend. No, 2 weekends ago.
2 weekends.
So,
Bruce and Helen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they're both from Pittsburgh, and I was born there, raised there.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, I have one younger brother. His name is David. He's a year and a half younger than me, and he lives in Washington, D.C.
Wow. And do you have a sister?
No.
No.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of you. So growing up, do you remember, were you church going growing up? Was that something that you did growing up, was going to church? Talk about, so just because we're in church and we're interviewing you about that, talk a little bit about what your family did as far as church goes.
Well, both my parents are Christians, and I grew up in the United Methodist Church, and I remember being taken to Sunday school as a little girl, and my mom was very adamant about sharing the gospel with us, so we had tapes in the car, tapes in the house, videotapes, Bible stories. We went to church camp growing up, and we went to youth group, and even my first day of college, my dad walked me up to like some college ministry and was like, you should sign up.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty used to, I definitely grew up in church.
Well, good, so that was just a part of what y'all did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty normal.
So at what point do you recall that you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes, that was probably in fourth grade at summer camp.
Church camp.
Yeah.
Do you remember exactly how that happened? You maybe want to share about how that
I don't remember the details. I think you spend a week at camp and you learn about Jesus, and then at the end of the week they have a campfire and kind of ask you if you'd like to receive Christ, and I said yes, and yeah.
Very cool. That's amazing. How many people accepted the Lord at a church camp?
I was seeing a lot of kids do that.
Yes.
Been to a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you have s'mores?
Yes, and now
hold on. Seal the deal with a s'more.
Yeah.
All right. Now, as far as school, grown up school, do you remember liking school? Any particular subjects that you really liked?
I liked, I don't know, I think I probably liked school up until about like fifth grade.
Okay.
Once you started getting homework and stuff.
Such a drag.
But I liked, my favorite classes were art class, history class, probably English.
English, cool. Do you remember just from going through school and then going on to college, where did you go to college?
I did my undergrad at Robert Morris University in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh? Is it a particular, I'm not familiar with that. I mean, I grew up in Ohio, but tell me a little bit about that college.
It's smaller, small scale. It's a private university, but it's not affiliated with any religious denomination, so it's pretty secular. It started off as an accounting school.
So your major was?
Hotel restaurant management.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
I love that. Very cool. But you then graduated with a degree in? Hotel restaurant management. Did you then work in that industry, or what happened from there?
I worked in hotels throughout college, and then didn't think I was ready quite yet to go out into the real world, so I went back to school and got an MBA.
An MBA? Where did you get an MBA from? Or was that
Duquesne? That was Duquesne University.
Duquesne?
In Pittsburgh.
Oh my gosh, really?
What are we doing?
That's very cool. And then you now are off with your degrees, and you're working in what capacity?
Well,
you said accounting.
Oh no. Well, so after my MBA, I moved to DC for a job that didn't go well. So I quit that, and by God's grace, ended up working for the government for 3.5 years.
Doing what?
Treasury Department.
Yes, the Treasury Department. No, it's more like you get letters that people are upset about their taxes or something.
Oh, you don't get any of those, right? Nobody's upset over that. So at this point, now you have these wonderful degrees and you're working in Washington. What is how's the Lord prompting you and tugging at your heart that maybe there's something more to life? I want to see.
Well, what brought you to DTS from Washington, D.C.? Okay.
How did that happen?
Well, so my job with the government was good, that it paid the bills, and for, it actually gave me time to think, because most of the time when you're in school, you're just constantly working.
You're not thinking.
You're not thinking about what you're doing. And so, I kind of just had 3.5 years to be like, what the heck am I doing with my life? And then I knew I wasn't going to stay with the government forever. And so originally, the reason I got my MBA was because I wanted to open a resort or a hotel chain.
Oh, really?
And that kind of just, I could never get any traction on that. And I didn't know why. And then during those 3.5 years with the government, I did a lot of soul searching. And my interest, I had a huge interest. Well, actually, I heard pretty early on, I heard Ravi Zacharias. And he just made Christianity logical.
Yes.
Which I had never really considered. And so I kept digging and trying to read different Christian authors that kind of just talked about things that I always kind of was questioning. And so my faith started growing a lot. And then at the same time, I also did like Myers-Briggs and StrengthsFinders and DISC, all these different personalities.
Oh, yeah,
trying to understand myself a little bit better. And then the more I talked to my friends, they were like, you ever thought about being a counselor? And I was like, no, I don't want to be a counselor.
Said, absolutely not. And so the Lord said, well, I got this opportunity for you in Dallas. Wait, how did you get then from nowhere to, I'm going to DTS and I'm going to study Dallas Water?
It just started making more sense the more I learned about myself. It just seemed to fit more, my personality seemed to fit better in a counselor role as opposed to a business administration
role.
My pastor at the church I went to in D.C., the associate pastor, he's a graduate of DTS.
Oh.
And so he recommended I look into it. And that church in D.C. was an evangelical free church.
Oh.
So I really liked the teaching there. So then he was like, no, I went to DTS. And I looked at a bunch of schools, and DTS had the counseling program that I was most attracted to.
Oh yeah, that kind of four-year program. So your degree is a master's in biblical counseling is what you're going for?
Yes.
And maybe so. Do you have a favorite class? Do you have a favorite professor?
You mean within counseling or
general? Oh, at DTS.
My probably favorite professor is Dr. Harrell.
Yeah.
He's a theology professor. And his classes are hard because he shares so much information, but you learn a lot.
Yes.
And he's also very humble and very kind. And so
he's really kind.
And he takes time to get to know students and see where they're at.
Yeah, he's a great professor. So bring me up to the point at which you are thinking about the Agape Project and you're looking over your opportunities to volunteer, and you go where angels fear to tread, which is Barnabas Baptist Temple. How, with all of the opportunities, what made you decide? We're delighted to have you, but what made you decide there? Let's suffice to say, there are easier mission fields than this. Amen. Amen.
I'm actually in one of Dr. Harrell's classes this semester. It's his class is called Angelology, Hamartiology.
Yes.
Anthropology.
Angelology, anthropology, and sin is what it used to be called. How do you still call it that?
I think
they took the sin part.
They replaced it with Hamartiology.
What is that?
Study of sin.
Oh,
fancy.
No, there was a word for the study set. Okay.
It comes from the target.
And I got a degree without knowing that.
So, yeah, what made you decide a part of me is that
stuff?
No. I looked at that sin thing a little
bit. No. So Aaron Schweitzer, who runs the Agape Project, came into class and he was talking about the projects, and he actually highlighted for us. He was saying that, you know, this is a good opportunity. I really think people should consider looking into this. And I had never heard of a church that served disabled people, so I was like,
any others that I know of.
So I was like, this sounds like an interesting opportunity. I've never had the opportunity to work with this population. So I was like, sure.
Oh, so you've never really worked with people with disabilities?
Nope.
Wow, that's interesting, because a lot of people are drawn to it because of the fact that they have experienced it personally or through their family or friends. So that's interesting. That's good to hear. And Kelly has it, but can we hold the questions for after? Let's hold the questions for after.
You're being rich, Kelly.
Well, that's awesome. We're just so glad to have you here. And it was always a bit of a frustration for me because DTS, the campus, is, what, 10 minutes from here? And trying to get people to come 10 minutes south. I mean, we had Dr. Waters here. We've had students here. And maybe one person would show up one time and then not come back. So I'm just thankful that the Lord's timing be perfect as it is, that you're here now, and we're just delighted to have you. Delighted, delighted. So let's talk about the future. What is your goal for getting this degree? And like, what is your dream job?
I try not to make plans anymore because God always changes.
There you go. Like, God, you do it this time.
Goals? Goals would probably be to get licensed.
What's entailed in getting licensed?
Well,
it's not easy.
After you, it involves a set of counseling, kind of similar to counseling internships where you are counseling clients, and you would do that before you graduate. I'm trying to do that this spring semester. And then after you graduate, then you have to take an exam to pass all these phases of counseling and practices. And then you have 3,000 hours of supervision where then you, after you do that, then you be licensed.
3,000 hours? How long does that reasonably take?
Well, 400, you can do up to 400 in each of your internships, so that's 800 before graduation. And then the rest would be after.
Sort of 2,400 hours. Am I doing the math right? I mean, wow. Before you can become licensed. Oh my God. How long does that take?
Maybe a year or two. I appreciate people who are licensed. I don't want just anybody.
Well, you know, that's good to know, huh?
Weird advice.
That they really have been very well trained. Wow. And I have a lot of friends who were in that track, but I never really asked them, no, how long is this going to take? I know that we had one person, she was still in the process of doing that. Judy. Do you remember when we had Judy here? She was still doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know that she's a counselor yet or not. I guess we just want to ask how we're able to help you. You've been such a wonderful blessing to us. How can we help you with what you're doing?
I think prayer. Prayer is always.
Prayer is definitely.
Prayer is always good. Super helpful. I firmly believe in the power of prayer, so I would really appreciate prayers. I'm just potentially getting set up with a practicum in the spring.
Yeah, and you have to work alongside someone, right?
Yeah.
Who would that be? Would that be a
counselor? Yeah, they have to be a licensed counselor so that they would supervise me. Because I've never done counseling before, they would sort of monitor my sessions so that if there's something that I'm not trained on how to address, like they can kind of step in and be like, hey, this is a bad situation. To take care of
good. I guess what I'd like to do now just to do that prayer here, and since Larry and I are up today, I'd like Pastor Larry, if that'd be okay, to just lead the prayer over, and we'll all just be in agreement. Will you do that, Pastor?
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending Stephanie to us. Lord, we thank you so much for people who are devoted to you and devoted to your service and desire to help others. I once had the aspiration of being a counselor and said I wasn't cut out for it. So we pray for strength. We pray for wisdom beyond her years, Lord. We pray for a supernatural wisdom to flow through her as she begins to live out that calling that you have placed on her life. I also recognize the feeling of, no, I'm not going to do that. And God says, oh, yes, you are. So thank you, Lord. We thank you that she has heeded your call. And we speak blessings over her in this endeavor. And we know that you will arrange everything so that she ends up exactly where you want her to be.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can I say something?
Yes,
sure.
Please.
I know how humble you are and how you don't like to talk about yourself, but I want you to tell us, your parents were telling me about a letter that you wrote to your grandmother and how much that meant to her. I want you to just kind of tell us what you did in that letter and how it affects her.
Well, I'm assuming this was my mom's mother.
Yeah. Okay. When you wrote the letter to that, doesn't speak much English.
Yes. So my mom's Chinese. I'm half Chinese, half English, Scottish, French, whatever. American. Yes. So my mom's mother is in she was in Sacramento, California, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, and as of 2 years ago I've been here in Dallas. And my mom seemed to think that my grandmother was saved, but we just didn't know at what level or what that meant. And I don't speak Chinese, and my grandmother was starting, her memory was failing. She does not speak English very much anymore.
Do you speak Chinese at all?
No.
No.
So I kind of got it into my head, like, well, this is kind of hopeless. Like, I don't know how to share the gospel with her if I don't speak Chinese. But then I was sitting in class, and my mom told me this story that it was supposed to be a funny story, but she said that, like, my aunt was visiting my grandmother and had found a Jehovah's Witness pamphlet in her house, but it was written in Chinese. And I got mad. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this cult is going after my grandmother in her own language. And so I was like, why am I not talking to her? So I kind of sort of talked to God and was like, all right, well, If I write, I will write a letter if you give me one person that can translate this letter in Chinese. And of course, that's like making, and of course, God's like done. But so I went to class and I forgot. Like, I know, like, DTS is a pretty diverse campus, and I know a lot of Asian students. And so I walked into class and my friend Carol was sitting there, and I was like, and she's from China. And I was like, do you by chance, because my, I also thought like this was going to be hard because my grandmother doesn't speak Mandarin. She speaks Cantonese, which is a different dialect of Chinese. And I mentioned to Carol, I was like, do you speak or write Cantonese? And she was like, yes, and Mandarin as well. And I was like, oh. And so like, okay, and I explained to her I wanted to write this letter, and I asked her if she could translate it for me, and she was like, yeah, but you know, like, Chinese is all the same characters, it's only how you speak it that's different. And I was like, oh. So I wrote this letter, and I shared with my grandmother, like, the gospel, and that I loved her, and that I would just really love to see her in heaven someday. And so Carol met up with me one Saturday and painstakingly translated this letter into Chinese.
How do you try? Is there a keyboard?
There are keyboards, but she doesn't have one. She has an app on a iPad where she would just draw the character or the stylus and then like do something, wow. And it saves it as like a character or something.
That's a God thing there.
So,
I have an app.
So, she translated it for me, and then I blew it up. I blew the characters up really large because my grandmother has a hard time seeing, and I took it out with me. I flew out for her 90th birthday, which was 2 years ago. And then So she read it, and I mean, I could tell that she was reading it, but I didn't know if it was sinking in because she again doesn't speak much English. And then I had a bunch of, you know, I just kept feeling like God was telling me to keep trying. So I had a book of my artwork that I've been doing over the past couple of years, which has a lot of biblical things in it. And so I don't know, I had this weird urge, like, nudge that was like, you need to send this soon, like, don't wait. And I couldn't, there wasn't enough time for me to have Carol translate again. It was too much. It was much longer than a letter. So I used the next best thing, which was Google Translate. And hope that God could like overcome any mistranslations.
God can use a donkey, he can use Google Translate.
So I sent that to her for her birthday, and then this past January she actually passed away. When I went out to say goodbye, my aunt, who had been staying with her to take care of her, had kind of was talking to me that night that I arrived, and she said that my grandmother had been reading the letter and the book every day. Even though she couldn't remember, like, she just had something written that she could read. And she even caught her praying at certain times, saying, like, just walking around the house saying, dear God in heaven, I don't know why you still have me here, but I thank you for giving me another day.
Wow.
So,
That's awesome.
I assume that she's in heaven.
Oh, that's an awesome story.
Oh, they my parents kept the letter, but they put the art book in the casket when they buried her.
That's sweet. That's so sweet.
That is an awesome, awesome story. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, good. We did have one question. I didn't want to gloss over that. Kelly, do you remember what that question was? So no question. She doesn't remember.
Okay, good.
Oh, Christy, you have a question.
I used to work for Christian psychiatrists in the Richardson area.
Okay.
Dr. Frank Minrith. And so MIN.
The Minrith place, awesome.
Okay.
And they had interns there. So I just...
That is an excellent...
That would be a good place to do your internship.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
They're from they moved to a different building. But they're right off of Greenville.
Okay. Richardson. I didn't know if they were in Richardson. Yes, that's an awesome... And possibility for the future. Well, good. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.